session number 23196, reel 6.
Mr. Wilkinson, reel 6. We got to October the 1st.
Yes.
What happened then?
So we was in a position at St. Odden Road. The 51st Highland Infantry came up to relieve us on the evening, and we went back to a place called Gemert, G-E-M-E-R-T. There was a local town a little far away, but there was no lighting, no power on or anything, it was blackout. The only thing you really did, you got on the three tonner in the rest area to Gemert, and all you could do was just sit in there and sing songs or in the dark. There was no naffy or any of that sort, and we were billeted in a farmhouse just outside Gemert. We had 3 weeks rest there for reorganisation, 3 weeks rest. On October the 22nd we moved back into the line through Best, which we were originally, through a place called Biest, B-I-E-S-T, and then up to the outskirts of Tilburg. We was ordered to attack Tilburg on October the 24th.
And what do you remember of that?
That was October 24th. There was Dutch artillery at that point. Dutch artillery. I think that's the Princess Irene Regiment, I believe, formed over here. They laid down a barrage on Tilburg. The forward elements went into the outskirts, and then somebody came rushing down the road, one civilian, and said, "The Germans have gone." So they told the artillery to stop firing, and off we went into Tilburg, and they were welcomed with open arms. So we liberated the town of Tilburg. We was there two or three nights for a rest, and then we was urgently called to go straight back into action on the other flank, because that point was when we went up to Tilburg, that's when the Germans was pushed out of the Scheldt, and they took all the ports, and you had three towns. There was Hertogenbosch, Tilburg, Breda, Roosendaal, and then Antwerp. All that lot was liberated, so Germans pulled back over the Mars on that sector, but they counterattacked on the Siegfried Line side, that is the German side, and they threw the Americans back out of a town called Meijel, M-E-I-J-E-L. We moved up there on October the 28th and found the Americans retreating down the road. We dug in at a place south of called Liesel, L-I-E-S-E-L, Liesel. And the Germans were shelling heavy, bombarding us. We laid a minefield, and the carrier that was taking the mines was ready primed so they could be put in quickly, but blew up. And the caravan, all the mines went up with the Bren gun carrier. Then the Germans pulled up, but they was fighting rearguard actions. That means they stopped and fought you. And we moved up the road about 2 miles in some pine forest, and we dug in on the edge of the forest. And I don't know, but I believe they were using a knocked-out American tank, because they was firing into this forest all night. And the trench next to me was hit. And as it was hit, I didn't know at the time, my trench collapsed, and I was buried in sand up to there. But it hit the trench like where that fire is, and all the sand had collapsed on top of me next to it. Those poor chaps, they'd gone. Then the next day we moved up to...
How did you get out? I mean, what was it like?
Crawled out. I got out. Being sand, you know. But, of course, the other trench had got a direct blast. And the blast, really, the walls just caved in.
Must have been frightening.
Oh, yes, yeah. And they said, "Oh, Mr. So-and-so, then I've got to go on the list, you know." And then the next morning, we advanced up the road to facing Meijel itself, where the Americans had been counterattacked. We didn't take Meijel, but we dug in there. And was and from that position they was kept counter attacking, and we kept shelling the area, so on. We was there for quite some, right up till about the 3rd of November in that static position. Germans over there and us here. And on the 4th of November, they opened a big attack. The 30 Corps opened a big attack to clear the West Bank of the corridor up to the Mars. We was in the front, and then we was sort of left in the rear. They come across our front, and you could see that because you used to get Monty's Moonlight, what they call Monty's Moonlight.
What was that?
They used to put searchlights up in the sky, and it sort of gave moonlight on your trenches, so that it was never really dark. It was like moonlight, and you could see the searchlights gradually coming around your front like that each day. You see it coming right round like that, and they come right across your front. Then we was there till about that 16th, 17th of November, and we was ordered to go forward. We went through Majel, Vorst, Sevenum, up to a place called Masbury, and then was ordered on December the 1st to attack Blerick, which is the southern part of Venlo. Venlo lays on the east bank, Blerick lays on the south bank.
How do you spell it?
Blerick, B-L-E-R-I-K. And the town opposite was Venlo, V-E-N-L-O. We went in Venlo for the first time in what they called kangaroos. They were a tank with the turret taken off, and the infantry got inside, and you advanced in this thing right up to the enemy position so that you didn't have to go on open ground. And when we got out, evidently the Germans had pulled back over the Mars, and they dug in on the west bank, on the east bank. And they dug their winter line, what they called their winter line. We was this side, they was that side. And being a town, every time you made a movement, you could hear they'd hear the mortars go in the German side, and they'd bash all the crossroads. If you went out of the line, you knew damn well, as soon as a courier came up the road, they was off. You could hear them, and just bump, 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 and off, and they come down on the crossroad. From there, somebody took pity on me from the battalion and said, I'm due for a 48 hours pass to Brussels. And that was about December about December the 7th or 8th, I believe. And we went back through this little bridgehead that we was holding in earlier. It was all very quiet there. We went into Brussels. He hadn't had a shave. He hadn't had a wash for about a fortnight. All dirty, and the major in the hotel, we had a sort of a hotel where you could have a hot bath, and the maids were laughing because we were so unkempt and so dirty. I can always remember that. And we had 48 hours there, and if you went into a canteen in Brussels, they used to have cigarettes and chocolates, and they used to know which chaps were the combat or those which was rear, and they mystery other chaps, and they come straight to me because they knew by your badge that you was with infantry, and you got the preference for cigarettes and chocolate or whatever. It wasn't very long, 48 hours.
What did you do? I mean, did you go for a drink or what did you
do? Oh, I went to the pictures. Always sort of, you go across between French and Flemish. You take your pick. It was spoken in French, and the subtitle was Flemish, and you could sort of pick out some of the words in Flemish. But you could never really understand it. You were just looking at it. Then we did go for a drink, but I didn't drink much in them days. But I soon came back to 48 hours, got back. And by that time, they'd moved a little further along the bank, outside Blerick. And I was there for about the 15th of December, 14th of December. Somebody from battalion said, as I was a signaller, I hadn't had a refresher course since 1943. So they done me a good turn and sent me back to Helmond, H-E-L-M-O-N-D, which is a Dutch town, which had a nice big nappy and a stage, where all the base troops used to go every day, which we could never do. when they finished their tour of work, they had all these things at hand. We never had that. I was there three weeks, and the second day I was there, they opened a counter-offensive in the Ardennes, and the sergeant told me that they'd counter-attacked and they didn't know what was happening because it was all fluid. I was there, as I say, I managed to get the Christmas out of the line too.
What was the course like? I mean, your problem was procedure. How did you do with it?
Well, they gave you that. They gave you procedure. They gave you a refresher on Morse code, signals, lamp, signal lamp, semaphore, flag drill, and the procedure.
Were you getting better?
And I got quite proficient on it. But of course, by that time, it didn't really matter to me anymore. I felt so lucky that I got 3 weeks out of the line in a nice comfortable bed, except for the occasional night guard, you know. And after the 3 weeks, I went back to the front on the Mars, and our lot had moved to outside of Blerick on some remote place with a pine forest. I don't know where it was. And by that time, it was snowing thick and fast, and it was very, very cold indeed. Very, very cold. The trenches were on the bank, and they were like the First World War trenches. They were long trenches with great tree trunks over the top, loads of earth on top, blankets over the dugout holes. You had four oil stoves to a little alcove where if you went in to get warm, you either put up with the fumes that got down your neck, you used to blow your nose, it was all black, cough up black. Or you couldn't stand the fumes, you went out in the cold, in the open. And you had to guard on that trench all night long, hour on, hour off, all night long. And we was there up till about the 10th of January.
How bad was the cold?
Very, very intense cold, very intense cold. Being in a static position, the Germans was the other side, they never ever fired a shot, we never fired a shot. It was live and let live, you might say. While we didn't bombard them, they didn't bombard us. It was almost like a truce. You could get out of the trench if you wanted to and walk around, nobody bothered. In the morning you did get a wash, they put up a little tin shed, but it was only stone cold water. If you wanted to shave, you shaved in cold water made from snow, and but it was bitterly cold, and somebody gave us balaclava helmets from charity. We wore those, and you wore your uniform, your greatcoat, and jerkin, pad yourself right out, but it was still extremely cold, very cold indeed. The rations came up as usual, tin stuff, of course, beanies in the front. And we was out about the 10th and 12th of January, and then we was relieved and went on trucks right through Holland, and we had the open truck, the other two companies had the covered truck, and we were frozen solid. We had issued with a blanket apiece to wrap round us on an open truck in that cold, and we was frozen to the marrow. And we went back through Holland down to a place in Belgium called Nynove, that's Ninove, which is very close to the Ardennes, meaning we was put there as a reserve in case it turned worse than it did. We were never called upon. We had 5 days rest there, and then we went up back into Holland, up through Tilburg, didn't stay there. Oh yes, we did. Yes, we did. Yeah, up through Holland and to Tilburg. In Tilburg, we had a rest for 3 weeks. We had a rest in Tilburg, and being we liberated a town, we was all right there. People was, you know, we did a little bit of training there, you know, for those that had joined us, reinforcements from Tilburg. On February the 4th, we moved up from Tilburg to Nijmegen. It was billeted in some sort of a warehouse. And we was there till about the 9th of February, and opened the key attack from Nijmegen into the Rhineland. We went forward the next morning through, and the Germans kept firing at us because it was in them kangaroos, as I said. The kangaroo, which was a tank that held troops, we was in these things, and we stopped in the gap in the house, and there was Canadian driving it with a Bren gun, a Browning gun, which is a machine gun, and he stopped in the gap, and they was lobbing these anti-aircraft 88 shells through us, through the gaps, and he was going, and the Canadians, what they are, oh, get that shot, he's firing it in the woods, you know. I said, get away from the main gap, I said, get away from the gap. Yeah, I'll get him after breakfast. So we're not like the Canadians, you know. I'll have my breakfast first. I'll go and get them. So we went through there, got into Cleve. When we got into Cleve, we turned round the bend in the road, and there's about 30 Germans standing there with picks and shovels digging in positions. As soon as we got there, they didn't even see us. We came round. As we come round, they dropped their shovels and put their hands up. From Cleve.
That attack on Cleve, that was
that was Rhineland attack.
That was the 9th of February.
From Cleve, we was come across our front, so we was behind again. Then we went through the positions of the 1st Worcesters again, into a place called Goch, G-O-C-H. And this is where I fade out. I got to Goch, and they was firing at us all night. And we was in German trenches, you know, zigzag. They used to go zigzag.
How were they different?
They used to dig their trenches, one leg there, like a zigzag, like that. And they used to fire in steps. And I crawled round this trench, and as I crawled up to where it turns round the corner, something bang hit me on the head. It was one of our blokes. Panicked, threw his 36 grenade, never pulled the pin, fortunately. Struck me on the tin steel helmet. As I'd had my head down like that, it hit me on the helmet. There was a great big dent like that in the helmet. Now, had I had my head up, I would never have been here. And the very next morning, the blokes that had been firing at us all night, we went into the first houses in Goch, and there were 6 prisoners in one of the kitchens of the houses, and they put their hands up, and funny enough, they were just like us. We gave them cigarettes and was all talking in there, you know, just like old comrades, you know. Funny what treatment they got further back, I don't know, but
you got on well with them.
They talked to us like, and we talked to them, you know, were their families and all that. Probably when they got back to the base with us, they probably got grilled. From that night, they come across the front again, and we stayed in this house, and we found some German bread. That's like, well, they used to make it like sawdust, but there was a load of margarine there, and we had some tins of bacon. They were all full of fat, but they were all rolled around tissue paper. They all got the idea, they put all the biscuit tin up with fat boiling over this little stove and put wood underneath. And they were dropping the bread in. I went out there to put me bread in. The other chap hit the bloody tin, and the lock went over my hands, boiling hot fat. I yelled like hell, and they was laughing their heads off. They thought, oh, it was funny. And being it was so badly burnt, I lost sense of feeling. It went like numb. I didn't get any, what you know when you burn yourself, you feel it. Just the hand just went numb. When in the morning, all my hands was like that, like duck's feet, all blown up. And the REP, that's the section medical bloke, came up, and I said, stick something in it, because it was full of water. No, he said, you can't, you've got to go down the REP. And they were shelling that road, and I thought to myself, well, I don't want to go down that road, but I'll have. He said, you've got to go. So I went down this road, got to the REP, and the doctor looked at it, he said, oh, all right. He gave me something to eat, and he said, you'll have to go back to the next point. In the afternoon, they sent me back to the regimental aid post, and there was old doctors there, like, attending to the wounded and that. They looked at my hand, and they said, no, washed it in bicarbonate soda. And up to there, all the rest of which was black with dirt. But the hand was snow white. But all these big lumps on it, you know. And got in this schoolroom. He slept in the schoolroom on the floor. The next morning, we were sent to Nijmegen. From there, they transported us down to a place called Grave, Grave. That's the forward hospital on the River Maas itself. There, you see some of the wounded being discharged, go back to the front. Doctor examined my hands, came along, cut all the big blisters, and all the water came out, crisscrossed it somehow, I don't know, and then they put all Vaseline gauze bandage every finger and every hand, like a big pad. And then from there, I got on the train, troop train from Nijmegen down through Tilburg, down to through Brussels into France, hospital, base hospital at Renaix. There I was, had to make a statement, grilled me, took me down.
In what way? What were they trying to find out?
Asked me how it was done, who was there and what was happening and what not, what time it was, who was there, what corporal, what a private, everything under the sun. What he was doing at the time, I never heard no more. I took me down the operation theatre. I don't remember anything after that. They shot me in the arm, and when I came back, all my hand was bandaged right up to there. Whether it was for battle exhaustion, I don't know, but the doctor said, this chap, he'll have to go to the convalescence depot. Because I'd been in action then for nearly 10.5 months. I believe that's what it was. And they sent me to the convalescence depot.
Where was that then?
That was at Tournai. How do you spell that? T-O-R-N-A-I, I think it is, Tournai. Tournai.
And that's still February?
Yeah.
And how were you treated there?
They looked after what you had, you know, what you had on your hands or whatever wounds you had. And you had what they call fifth therapy. If it was your nerves were shot to pieces, they gave you therapy.
Did you get any of that?
I did get it, yeah.
What sort of therapy did they give you?
They sort of they gave you something, you know. But they gave you counselling, more or less.
Did you think your nerve had gone?
Yes, I did, actually. I towards the end, yeah.
Well, how did it show itself?
Well, it showed itself that you shook. You like this. Your nerves were shot to pieces. And I'll tell you what it felt like. About 3 years ago, I had depression. And it felt like that. You know, you felt absolutely down. Everything was black looking. You never, you know, and I had these shakes. And I think they sent me there as a good rest.
So it was psychiatric?
Psychiatric problem, yeah. Combined with this thinking.
Well, the accident was an accident, because you've been interviewed to see whether you did it deliberately. It was an accident.
Yes, it was accident, yeah, it was accident.
So what other symptoms did you have? I mean, could you sleep all right?
I slept all right, yeah, yeah. But as I said, I was always on the nervous side, you know. By that time the war was getting, they'd broke through into the Rhineland, and they'd crossed the Rhine, I believe, on March the 24th. That's when they crossed the Rhine.
So you were at Tournai in February to March?
On that March, all March, yeah. And then from Tournai, after about, I suppose,
how did your arm respond? Did it get better? I mean, burns can be difficult. Did it get better quickly?
No, it took a long time, because it was a secondary degree burn. And I've read that in a book since, that it's one of those that can get infected very quickly. If it had been a first degree burn, I'd have been in pain. But as it went numb, you know, I never felt any, it went numb, you know, I didn't, you know, if you burn your finger, you feel it throbbing from. I felt it when it went on there, but after that the pain went away and the hand just went dead, you know, a numb feeling. Anyway, it showed no marks. They'd done a good job of it. The only scars I've got there is boils and carbuncles, which I got in the later stage in the army. But, well, as I say, from there, I was there till about the April.
So you had 2 months?
Yeah, that April the 4th or something like that, round about that time.
Anything else happened while you were there? I mean, were you pleased to be there and be out of it?
Oh, Christ, yeah. Oh, I say so. I think like the army, you know, whatever's due to you, you get, whether it's good or bad. If they think that you are in need of something, they'll give it to you. It's in, you know, but if you've done something wrong, they're just the same, they'll get you again. I had that several times in the army, you know, where they say, I'll give this chap a rest, you know. I come home on leave for once, and I went into Coney Hatch Light Hospital with this acute tonsillitis, and they looked after us there, you know, and they made sure that I got me leave when I went back again, you know. It's always down in the book, they never forget one way or the other. As I say, up till about the 4th of April. From there I was sent to the 1st Rear Reinforcement Holding Unit. That was at a place called West End. That's just from the other side of West End. You could get a tram from there, take you into West End if you wanted to go out in the evening. Get a tram ride along the front.
What was happening there?
Well, Dunkirk was still there on the side, still being invested. I was there about a couple of days, and then they started the leave system all the way back in October, November of 44. And because I was a W, I got left till last.
Your name?
Yeah, they kept me till only last. And by I went, I told the officer, I said, don't I get a leave, sir? I said, I haven't had one yet. And he said, well, I don't know, it's a bit difficult. It's not in your unit. He said, all right, he said, we'll send all those that haven't had their leave, we'll send you home. And I was sent home on leave.
That's in April?
That was April the, about April the 8th, I suppose, up to there.
And how were you when you got back home? I mean, had you got better from your
I got better. They took us back through Tilbury. We anchored off Southend for a tide, and then they took us by train on the North London line right through to Richmond and onto the place near Ascot, Sunningdale. That was the camp that they sent you home on leave from. They sent you home very quickly, and they got you back very quickly too. we came through. I had my leave there.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did indeed, yeah. I'd been home for a long, long time. And
did your family notice any change in you?
No, not really, no. I see my late brother's wife, and she said, you've changed. Well, of course, that was after the war. I mean, they were glad to see me because they knew exactly where I was, you know, because they told you on the wireless, Scottish and Canadian troops attacked the Rhineland. Well, we knew damn well that most of the Scottish Canadian troops were Scottish or English for that matter, but they called it Scottish, you know, because you know, I mean, you just take what they could, you know. Anyway, as I say, I got back
to West End.
Yeah, I was there about a day, and they transferred me to forward towards what's the name of that place? Louvain, I think it was, east of Brussels. From Louvain, I was shipped to...
Is that still with the holding unit, or...?
Yeah, yeah. And then I was sent to a place called Roulers, which is a bit further back. I don't know why, but Roulers or Roselaire, depends which way you pronounce it. In French call it Roselaire, and Germans call it, Belgians call it Roulers. By that time, they said that... The war was over in the northwest Europe.
Do you remember VE Day?
I do remember it, but I was miles away. But then, all I remember is May the 5th. We was in this reinforcement holding unit, and the officer said that all the Germans were surrendered on the northwest Europe, meaning the Germans were still fighting in Czechoslovakia, but they packed it in Holland.